Yeah, 11 o'clock, you awake? You got your coffee? You good? I'm gonna be honest, you're a little bit more excited than the 9-3. Usually our 9-3 is like awake, but I just remembered school's back in session. So all my parents are sad. Everyone, and all my kids are excited. No, they're not. They're not. And if you are excited, we know that you're probably a younger kid. But if you're in high school and excited about school, just don't tell people that. Just enjoy it yourself. So I'm just kidding. No, I'm glad that you guys are back in school. I just want to let you know, as a pastor and as a church and as leaders, we are praying for you families and for your kids and for the school. We just want to let you guys know that we are praying that this would be the year that they go in and shed light in the darkness, that they would light a candle, that we're praying that your kids will be protected, that they would be encouraged, but that they wouldn't hide from the darkness, but they would shine the darkness. And so if you're a high school, grade school, any kid that's in a student, maybe it's Noah's Ark for the first time. I know our kid's going, and I'm having some anxiety issues. Pray for me. I thought I was going to be like, yeah, go to school. But I'm like, it's too soon. It's too soon. So we're praying for you, and we'll keep praying for you for the school year. And we're hoping that God opens up doors to where we can actually bless the high school and the junior high and stuff in this next school year as well. So we're grateful for that. If this is your first time here, which I know there are, a lot of first-time guest bags have gone out today. So we're glad that you came. You're not a visitor. You're not a visitor. You're our guest. And so we're prepared for guests. You're not prepared for visitors, but we're prepared for guests. And so we hope you enjoy your gift if you already got it. If not, we'll explain that later. But my name is Sean Jensen, and I have the honor of serving here as the pastor at Authentic Church. And me and my wife, who was up here earlier, we love just serving you guys as best as we can. And we're grateful for people who make it easier. Not always easy, but easier. And we're grateful for that. So we've been in a series called Sermon on the Mount. We're going to jump right into it, but for the sake of those who are just joining us today, we have been talking through the Sermon on the Mount since June. We started saying we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount, scripture by scripture, in June, and in July we took a break, and we came back to this month in August. Next month we'll talk about a brand new series. Spoiler, it's called Hooked. It's going to be about fishing. It's going to be fun. You're not going to want to miss it. September, and then October, we're going to come back to Sermon on the Mount, Season 3, and then we'll finish season 4 in December. And so at that time, our church will have gone through Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is the best preacher to ever live. And this is the best sermon to ever be preached. And so we just thought we could get something from this as a church. And have you guys been getting something from it as a church? Has it been encouraging you? So 2 weeks ago, we talked about adultery, and some of you are like, "Woo! I skipped that, but I dodged that bullet." And then you came last week, and I was like, "Now we're talking about divorce." And you're like, "Great! That's I didn't skip. I didn't miss the bullet at all." So this week is going to be a little bit different in that. However, if you're mad because you're like, "Why didn't you warn us last week about divorce?" If you were actually reading through the Sermon on the Mount, you would have known before you came on Sunday. So someone said that to me. I was like, "Hey, if you were doing your reading plan, you would have known that divorce was up this week." And you're like, "Yeah, point taken." And they walked away. So we're in Matthew 5, verse 33. So we have gone through 33 verses in Sermon on the Mount, and we're not close to stopping because it's good stuff. Jesus is talking to a bunch of Pharisees and priests and religious leaders of the time, the ones who filled the temple, and also there was other people around as well. So he was talking towards the religious people with other people listening in. So that's very important in context because he's going back to Old Testament law for the Pharisees, but then he's bringing in the new covenant through Christ and what he expects of us that can only be obtained through his grace. That can only be obtained through his grace. And Jesus says these words, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.'" And that's in Deuteronomy. That's also in other parts of the Old Testament. But I say, right, we've been noticed this by now, Jesus says one thing, "I tell you that you should not murder, but I say don't even hate a brother. I say you shouldn't commit adultery, they say you shouldn't commit adultery, but I say even if you look at a woman or a man with those type of eyes and those intentions, you've committed that in your heart." So Jesus always takes it to the extreme. And he says, "And I say do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black unless you go to Rachel Steininger, my hairdresser, and she can change it for you." plug. She goes, why do you do that? Everyone, now I get all these calls and people, and that's just so much pressure. So hopefully my hair looks good. If it doesn't, it wasn't Rachel. Did you just lie? Verse 37, just say a simple, look at this, is important. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Just say yes or no. That's all I want from you. Lord, I pray right now in this moment that you would speak to us, speak through us like you have been. Thank you for protecting us this summer. Thank you for all the traveling that we got, all the refreshing that we got. Thank you, Father God, as we come back this next few weeks from all this traveling, that we're just grateful that you protected us in our travels and our vacations, and we're coming back to learn more about your love so we can pour it out in this town, and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you aren't familiar with me, if this is your first time or you still don't know who I am Sean, and I am 29 years old. So I will be 30 this year. Pray for me. I know. I'll be 30. But then I had an epiphany. Jesus' ministry started at 30, and so I'm just getting ready for that. I said that to someone once, and they said, but he died at 33. I was like, just to stay at 30. I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to accomplish as much as he did in 3 years, but he started at 30, and I have a brother who is already 30, so he's old, and I'm just kidding, and he's 13 months older than me, and I have a sister who's younger than me, and we had a lot of friends that we used to hang out with that would come to our house, and I don't know why I was pretty evil when it came to things like this, but I'm a really good talker. Now listen, I'm not trying to be conceited about preaching. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm a good talker to where I could get people to believe things that aren't true, to put them in weird and awkward positions so that me and my friends can laugh at them later. Does that make sense? That's cruel. I know, you've all done it. And so we would make up stories, or we would say things, or we would elaborate things to get my brother or my friends. We'd always do this to each other. It wasn't just me. We'd always do this. And we'd be like, hey, this girl totally wants to talk to you on MSN Messenger. Who remembers MSN Messenger? Come on, bloop, right? I had AIM. Okay, well, AIM Messenger. And I was like, this chick totally wants to talk to you on there. And so they're like, oh, really? And we tried to convince him to get on there and talk to her, even though she has no idea what's coming out, what's going to happen. She doesn't even care, like, whatever. And so we would try throwing him under the bus. We've done that. We've made up stories to get people to believe that aren't even true. Like, we've won tickets. We did the fake lottery thing. We've done all that. And we've just made up these elaborate stories. And they're so fun, right? When you create a plan in your mind of how it's going to go, and it just goes as perfectly as it can, right? Well, my brother, after a couple years of doing this, was tired of it, and my brother's a little clever, and so he came up with this phrase. This phrase ruined everything for everybody for all time. Like, no more fun was being had. No more lying. Everyone's like, that's good. No, it's not good. No one was laughing. It was sad. It was depressing. I need new friends because these friends don't let me lie. So... And he came up with this phrase. He would say this. So I'd say, hey, Shane, hey, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? This is what happened. And he'll say these words. Promise to God. See, I was raised in church my entire life, and he knew I was terrified of God. I was raised more like, not through my very, I was kind of in a religious setting, so I was more terrified of God than actually his love for me. And so this phrase, promise to God, me and our church friends, a lot of our friends were church friends, and we were younger. And so as soon as someone would say, promise to God, you're like, you're stupid. And you just like walk away. Like, because they knew, like, as soon as you do that, if you promise to God, it's true. But if you say, no, I don't, then it's like, nah, it's not. And so I would try to work around this thing. I'd be like, yeah, I promise to God. He's like, you said God, not God. Some of you didn't even catch it. I could totally pull the wool over your eye. He's like, no, you said, say God, Sean. Say God. It's like, I promise to God. He goes, a gobstopper? You promising what? Say God. I'm like, I can't. Whatever, you win, right? Like, I was just like, I'm done with this. And so after he said that phrase, what I realized was, no, like, my truth and everything I've done has now been on my character to the point where I can't really joke with anything anymore, because I know that any of my friends at any time are going to say, promise to God. So I just gave it up. And because I didn't want to swear by God, because it was terrifying. If you look at the scripture, Jesus, you're like, how does that make sense with anything? Jesus came in and he said, Pharisees, you don't take God's name in vain. It says in God's word that if you make an oath, if you make a swear by God, then you need to make sure you are good on it, that you act it out, that you do it. And so we had these, and the scripture literally says, I'd rather you not even make a vow than make one and break it. It says it in Ecclesiastes, it says it in the Psalms. It says, do not even break a promise unless it ruins you. Or don't even break a promise even if it ruins you. And so they were living by this. And Jesus said, that's great. And there's oaths in the New Testament, and we do them at weddings, and they're still okay. But that's not what Jesus was talking about contextually. What he was talking about was these Pharisees would stop using promise to God. Because here's the thing, the Pharisees did a lot of projecting and talking, but they would swear by heaven, and they would swear by earth, and they would swear by Jerusalem, and they would try competing on what they could swear by to give force to their words, but they wouldn't swear by God. Because if someone looked at them and said, okay, swear to God, they'd be like, oh, whatever, you're no fun. Like, right? That's what was going on here, and Jesus knew that. He said, you care more about people believing you than telling the truth. And so they would swear by everything. He said, you know what? Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. I even own the head on your body. Don't swear by anything. I make a new thing today. I say, do not make a vow. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I realized at this moment, the reason why Jesus said this, it's really important for our church to understand, is this. As soon as you make a promise, as soon as you make a swear or an oath, I promise I'm going to do it. I swear I'm going to do it. You've just demonstrated that there's not enough weight in your character to confirm your words. Let me say it one more time. As soon as you make a swear or a promise, if you have to go that far, you've just demonstrated there's not enough weight in your character and your integrity to confirm the words you just said. And Jesus knew this. He said, we got to change this thing up because we have so many Pharisees walking around making these swears, making these oaths, and they're not good for it, and people are tired of it. And I heard this phrase from a pastor giving a leadership talk. He talked about projecting and producing. Everyone say projecting and producing. And so for the next few moments, I'm going to talk about this throughout our scripture. The name of this message is Project Management. Project Management. I said, Sean, it's project. I know, but I changed it to project because we're talking about what we're saying. And the reason why I'm saying management is because some of us need to begin to manage what we're projecting, because what we're producing is not lining up with what we're projecting. And Jesus is saying, not my church. Pharisees come and they project and make these vows by God, by heaven and by earth, but they're not lining up to it. And everybody was tired of it. And so the Pharisees had a lot of projecting, but little producing. And Jesus said, stop projecting. Stop projecting. Start producing. I mean, I look at right now, this Saturday, there's going to be one of the biggest fights to ever go down in history from this point on. It's going to be one of the highest grossing fights, and the loser of the fight is set for, I mean, it's years. Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Got some UFC fans in here. Hey, I'm pulling for Conor. Anyways, Conor McGregor and Floyd Moneymaker Mayweather, who's a boxer. Conor is a UFC fighter, and they're going to be boxing because Conor can project a lot. He talks a lot. Let's just say it where it was. I'm not going to mention what he says. But the idea is this, that the reason why people are actually going to go to the fight is because both of them project a lot and talk a lot of smack. But if you actually look at their fights, they've actually produced it too. Why do you think it's the highest grossing? Because they're not just projecting. Even though I don't say you should be talking smack, I'm just trying to say is that they're walking what they're talking. And because of that, it's drawn crowds. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more on that aspect, why Jesus says it is important that you just make a vow. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're a believer in Christ, if you say you're going to do something and you're representing Christ, you don't need an oath. You don't need a swear, because people know your character is heavy enough that when you say you're going to get it done, by God, I'm going to get it done. And when you say, no, I'm not going to go that way, by God, you're not going to go that way. He says, let your words be enough. You don't need to make a swear. You don't need to project. You just need to produce. And as a church, this is important for us, that we would be a church who produces when we project. Jesus says it this way in John 15. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So Jesus gives us this picture. He says, if you look at a plant, I'm the vine that gets the nutrients from the water. You're the branches. Meaning, if you're not connected with me, don't expect to grow. But when you're at the source, I will give you everything you need to produce everything you need to produce. He says this, "For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce," everyone say produce. "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." I'm just praying that our church begins to look like the produce aisle at County Market. I'm praying that when people come in here, they've heard things out there, but they're blown away when they come in here and actually see what they've heard. That they actually see what God's doing something. That they don't, we don't just project, but we produce. He says, they will know you are true disciples by what you produce. If you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. He didn't say, if you project how much fruit you want to have, if you talk about how good of a person you want to be, I'm not saying that we're not in a struggle. Let me talk about this. He's not saying, if you project, he's saying, no, when you produce, that right there is when I will know that you are a believer. Not when you say, I want to forgive, but when you actually forgive those who hurt you. When you actually say, I want to give, but you actually give because everything God's given to you. He says, stop projecting, start producing. That's how they'll know you're my disciples. Now, let me encourage you. Some of you say, but Sean, I see people who've been producing for 15 years. I just got saved recently. There's someone in our first experience who just started coming for a few weeks that we've celebrated because she got invited, which is important that you invite people. She came and she received Christ. She made Jesus number one in her life. Because of an invitation, she is now going through transformation. It's important that we invite people to church. If you want to thank God for salvation too, that's fine. And she's been coming every single week since. And some people, I don't have much fruit. Where's my fruit? That you've been here for 3 weeks straight. That's your fruit. Because you didn't just say something about it, you did something about it. So I don't want you to feel condemned that your fruit's not good enough. Don't compare fruit. He's not saying you need this type of fruit and this much fruit. You just need to be producing fruit. So if fruit is coming out of your life, you're being more patient. You're being more gentle with your family. God's restoring things in your life. You're beginning to see fruit, and I believe our church is seeing that. I love this place because I see fruit everywhere. And that's an evidence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus working in our church. And he says, don't project it, produce it, because I'm tired of it. He's talking to the Pharisees now. Quit projecting. All these people are tired of it. And so he flips our perspective. He says, from this time, a lot of people are listening to what you're saying. And Jesus flips it. And I'm going to encourage some people, like, this is this teach right now. This is going to be like a class, back in school, school session. Here we go. Jesus says, stop focusing on what people project. Just start focusing on what they produce. This is going to help a lot of you, especially you single lady right there. He says a lot, but if you look how he produced the other five people behind him, don't look at what he's saying. He may make big promises. Look at what he's producing. Oh, it's quiet. Ladies, guys, you may be saying, I'm looking for this. And she's saying, I'm all this, and I care about these things or whatever. And she may be projecting. But if she's not producing the patience and the peace, and because of that, she's more filled with drama and gossip and all these things. I'm not saying it's not time yet. Or I'm not saying it'll never happen. I'm just saying it's not time yet. Don't listen to what she's projecting. Wait till she starts producing. This is going to help a lot of people, maybe your friends. If you want to be where God's called you to be and you're projecting to have a life that God's called you to live, you got to stop hanging out with people who are producing things that are countercultural to what you're projecting. You can't be hanging out with people who are projecting something else in you. Look at what they're producing. We have a lot of people who are projecting, but I want to say stop. When you look at friendships, when you look at churches, I pray right now that if you're here for the first time and you're making a decision to make this your home church, don't look at what I'm saying right now. Now take it in and bring it, but I want you to look at the people to your left, I want to look at the people to your right, and I want you to ask them, what has God done in your life? Because I'm sure they will tell you, from the time I've stepped in this place, I've seen addictions fall off, I've gotten baptized, I've seen things restored. Don't listen to me, look at the produce. Look at the produce. Do you know why I love this place? Because there's produce here. There's some lemons and some limes. There's some apples and some grapefruits. No one likes grapefruits, but some people do. I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyways, he says, look at what they're producing. So if you're trying to figure out, is this the place I want to be? Don't look at what I'm projecting right now. Look at what we're producing. A lot of people want to project, but they don't want to produce. And Jesus says, let's change it. Because here's the thing. If you project and don't produce, eventually no one will want to listen to what you have to say. If you project and don't produce, eventually no one will want to listen to what you have to say. Guys, I prepared this message this week, and Liz, my wife said, how you doing? I said, terrible. She goes, why? I was like, because I'm bad at this one. This thing is wrecking me. You realize that you have a pastor who, before he preaches, wants to make sure he's living it. I will not preach a message if I'm not living it. It just falls on me. And Jesus, not that I'm perfect at it, but that I'm living it. I'm going steps for it. Jesus says, if you project and don't produce, eventually no one will want to listen to what you have to say. And that's why I'm preaching this message today. Because if people want to listen to what our church is speaking about the hope of Jesus Christ, then we need to make sure we're producing more than we're projecting. And when you leave and you have your authentic church sticker, vinyl, and you have your shirt on, we love that. And we know God's growing you. But just remember that you don't have to tell people. But what are you producing? What are you producing? I was talking to someone this week, and they talked about, you know, why do you think you see success at Authentic Church? How are you a part of a church that in 4.5 years, you've seen over 700 people come to your Easter experiences, and you're now pushing up to 400 people? And we're all about the numbers, because every number matters to God. Every person matters. And so as the church is growing, people are coming to Christ. So we talk about numbers all the time. There's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. And they said, we commend you for it. You're doing great. And they encouraged me. I was grateful for that. And I just said, listen, I was like, I think what it is when we started a church, we said we're going to be a church for people who don't do church. People didn't like when we said that. You can't be a church for people who don't do church. I'm like, well, watch us. We're going to be a church for people who don't. We're not going to change the message, but we're going to change the method. And hold on, stop clapping for a second. This is going to be like 50 minutes long. No, keep clapping. And I began to say that. He goes, why do you think that works? And I said, because we didn't just say it, that when we said it, we actually created a place for unchurched people, that we spoke their language, that we didn't just project something, we began to produce it every single weekend. And because we produced it, and because we went to blocks and helped mow yards and clean houses, and because we got involved in our community, because we actually said we care about people who aren't in the doors yet, that's the reason why people are coming in here, because they were looking at what we were producing more than what we were projecting. But if you want to see the same in your church, you can't just say you want to reach lost people, because when you want to reach lost people, that's when people don't like it. Everyone's for reaching lost people until you have to reach lost people. Because they're messy, because I'm messy. It takes time, but Jesus embraced the mess, and our church will always embrace the mess. We will get in the trenches more than we'll get in the mountaintop. We will pull people out because we're not projecting, we're producing. If you just look around, you say, Sean, you talk from stage with this whole thing going on and breaking barriers, and you are adamant about being a church with diversity in your church. And I want to project that, but I want to produce it. I want to see a diverse church that God is raising up, that no matter if you're a cop or a villain, no matter if you are a waitress or you work at a big business and you own it, you can lock arms together and say, no, we're the body of Christ. We're going to project, but we're going to produce. And when we do that, let's look at what happens. If you project and don't produce, eventually no one will want to listen to you. But if you project and produce, eventually people will want to listen to what you have to say. The opposite's true. And I'm realizing that there's been a lot of things I've promised I have not come through on. And I had to get those things right with God. But I said, from this time on, God, Holy Spirit, help me not even say a word if it's not going to be produced. But when I say it, let me produce it. And I know there's things in our life that we are producing, but Jesus said, if you project and produce, eventually people will want to listen to what you have to say to you. And Jesus' life showed this perfectly. Because the Pharisees, the religious leaders, couldn't stand Jesus for two reasons. The first reason is he projected big claims. He opened up Luke when he was around everybody, or Isaiah and Luke, we hear the story. He opens up the scripture to Isaiah, and it talks about the king who's coming. He says, I have come to preach the good news to the poor, to release the oppressed, to set the captives free. And Jesus read it, closed the book, and gave an institution, that's who I am. They didn't like him because he had a big claim. He's the Messiah. He's going to heal. He's going to set people free. He's going to forgive. They didn't like that about him because they didn't believe that was him. And then they couldn't stand him because everyone gathered to hear what he had to say.
That what that looks like now is, why does that church keep growing? Why does that blah, 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 blah?
Really what's happening is your insecurity is showing that there's crowds not following you. And the Pharisees were mad that crowds were not coming to hear what they had to say. Instead, they were coming to some carpenter's son. But I'll tell you why they crowded to Jesus. People say, because he's the Son of God. Of course, he's Son of God, but he's also fully man. He came fully man and fully God to step into our place so that we could be redeemed through Christ on the cross so we could now live in freedom. And he had crowds following him. But it's not just because he was the Son of God. Let me tell you another reason why, which stems from being the Son of God. He says this, before Sermon on the Mount, before we started Sermon on the Mount, there is two scriptures right before he preaches on the Sermon on the Mount of what's happening in Jesus' ministry. Check this out. Matthew 4, 23 through 25. This is why Jesus had so many people gathering him. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. I wouldn't say this in the first experience. Can we promise to be a church who brings in sick people? The amount of sick people and hurting people and broken people we bring in here truly reveals that we are a church for like a hospital and not a museum. He says the sick people came. And as they came, it said whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. The Pharisees didn't like this. Who's this up-and-coming 30-year-old? Because he's young in these terms. Who's this 30-year-old who is a son of a carpenter saying he's the Messiah, projecting all these claims, and all these people are around him? What is going on? We got to find this out. I'll show you what happened. I'll show you why he had crowds gathering him. It says right here. It says in verse 23, he was teaching, projecting in the synagogues, where the Pharisees were, announcing the good news about the kingdom. So he was projecting in the temple, in the synagogues, but look at what he did. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. The word spread, and people didn't say, we got to get to the synagogue to hear and take notes. No, it said they brought every sick person they could find to the feet of Jesus. You know what happened here? Jesus didn't just project, he produced. Do you know why he had so many people gathering around him? Because he said he was going to heal, and guess what? He healed. He said he was going to open up eyes, and guess what? He opened up eyes. He said he was going to come as a spotless lamb of God, and guess what? He came. And he's still coming, and he's still working, and he's still moving. That's why churches are growing, because when we focus on Jesus, miracles happen. And when we produce, people show up. People showed up to hear what Jesus had to say because he healed every sick. He healed all their hurts and their infirmities, and we believe in that. And I thought about our friends in Ohio who we met at a conference a while back, and they started church 1 year ago. 1 year, guys, in Huber Heights, Ohio. Consider the Midwest, kind of north. People still say whatever is the argument there. But right there, where churches shouldn't grow. And their church name is this, Engage City Church. Why? Because they want to engage their city. Because that's what a church should do. That's actually why we're created, to bring hope. That people will stop running to the government and they'll start running to the church. That's the point. That's what we're here for. And it's called Engage City Church. And they just celebrated a year last week. Anyone want to guess who wasn't here in the first experience how many people they had this past week? 600 people in 1 year coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I celebrate with them, but you know what lit a fire under me? Was the reason why people are like, why did you get so successful? Why do you think it's this? Because their name was projecting that they were going to be people in their community. But if you follow them on Instagram, every single month, they have some type of thing that they're doing at their school, at another school. They're having basketball camps. They're giving the people in need. They're buying Nike shoes and going into places and giving people who don't have shoes. What are they doing? They're not just projecting, they're producing. And I'll tell you why our church is growing, and I'll tell you why it'll keep growing, because we're not going to get our nose in the sky and say, you know what, we're here for lost people, but we're going to actually to say it, we're going to get inconvenient, and we're going to produce it. We're going to do whatever it takes to see people who are far from Christ find Christ. We'll do everything short of sin to get people into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and until I'm gone, everyone in Pontiac needs to hear about it. But we're going to produce it. And if we're going to be an authentic church who looks like Jesus, then we're going to produce it. And that's why you have people sitting next to you, because we have people in our church who didn't just project, they produced. And I want to encourage you that you would do the same. Jesus produced was so loud that it silenced the fake projections of the Pharisees. I wrote this down because I felt like God was speaking that into my heart. Last night, I was praying over the message. God already put it in my heart on Thursday. But yesterday, I just felt like I was just listening, and it's in my heart. He's like, just kind of look at this again. And he really encouraged me. And let me tell you, when I share this, I'm not belittling my leadership. I'm not talking down on myself because I'm young. I believe that God has asked me to pastor this church. I believe that no matter my age, if God told me to do it, he's going to do it through me. It's hard to believe that sometimes, but I believe it. And I don't care how old anybody is, and I'm grateful for that people who listen to me who are twice my age. You guys are amazing. You're the real MVPs, that you would actually humble yourself and learn from someone who is younger than you. That's what this generation needs to see, is people who can learn from younger and older, that we can learn no matter who you are. And I realized that in this, I was having this time, and God said this. He said, Jesus' produce silenced the fake projections of the Pharisees. Meaning they had such negative things to say about Jesus. But Jesus didn't take time to lash at him. He didn't take time to yell at him. He quoted God's scripture, but he didn't take revenge on him. Do you know what he did to get back at him? He produced. He loved. He healed. He preached. I guess what I'm trying to say is he kept going. And I don't know where you are, and maybe someone looked at you and said, girl, you've already tried that church thing. Now you're going to go back now, and they're already saying these false things against you. Don't even try acknowledging it. Don't even go back at them on Facebook. Quit trying to revenge it. Just leave it where it is. You know what you can do? Produce. Because when they begin to see the fruit of what God's doing in your life, it will silence any accusation that people are saying about you. Just keep going. Outlive, outlove, and outdo your critics. And I think about this because when we started the church, I had multiple people tell me I was too young and I need to sit under some leadership, which is still smart. They had wisdom. It was concerning hearts. But they said, Sean, are you sure God told you? And people were excited for me, but then I began to hear the same people who were excited for me from other avenues that it wasn't going to make it and that I was too young. And trust me, guys, I didn't know anything. It's that God told me to do this. And someone who came to our church stopped coming to our church because he said, you know what, you're just too young. That scared me. I didn't want to sit under your leadership because of that. And it crushed me for a while because this person meant a lot to me. It crushed me for a while. And I realized I just kept going. And that was a year in. And now we're 4.5 years out. And if I would have stopped and got my heart bitter and focused on that conversation for 4 years, we would still probably have just as many people as we had that many years ago. But I felt like God said these words. He said, you keep producing. And those people who want to talk bad and say all these things, just let them do that. Let your fruit be louder than their projections. And I realized that after all these years and what God has done, that person, even though my heart goes for them, they're not even really plugged into a church. They're not even growing. And my heart breaks. But what God showed me was there's loud projections that go out, but produce always trumps projection. So if someone is talking bad about you or your business or your marriage or your family, get connected to God and produce so much fruit that it silences every accusation that has said about you. And there's going to be a time that you're going to give up that addiction. There's going to be a time that your marriage is going to be happy again. There's going to be a time that you're going to win again. And it's going to silence the mouths of the enemy. And you're just going to say, look at my fruit. Look at my fruit. You see, I want to get to a time. It says this in Titus 2, 6, and 7. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Let everything you do, whatever you produce, line up with what you're projecting. That's what he's saying. If you're going to teach it, live it. And I've heard someone say this before. I tell people all the time, I do not want to live what I'm preaching. I want to preach what I'm already living. Because that's when it's going to be more powerful. Because when people see the fruit of what I'm preaching, that's when people are going to want to listen to what I have to say. They're going to come up and say, you know what, the reason why I actually want to hear what you have to say about reaching unchurched people is because I've noticed that your church is doing it. And when you're producing fruit, people actually want to listen. When you're actually giving marriage advice, people are looking in to see how you're handling your wife, how you're handling your husband. And if you have that fruit, they're going to want to listen to what you have to say. You see, I think of an apple tree. I don't know anything. My wife went through ag. I don't know anything about trees and everything like that, but I do know one thing. I know what an apple tree looks like when the apples are on it. Anybody else with me? Like, that's definitely an apple tree. Why? Because there's apples on it, right? But I thought about how if there's no apples on it, I have no idea what kind of tree it is because I just don't have the eye. Unless someone put a sign on there that said, I'm an apple tree, which is great. But without the sign, you're going to need some fruit. And it's easy to leave these doors and tell people, I go to Authentic. I'm a Christian. I just want to say that, what's to stop telling people we're Christians? Try it. Stop telling people you're a Christian. You don't have to tell them. Your actions should already should produce that. You don't have to say it. Now, this will encourage you, because at the end of the week, you can say, man, I don't look like an apple tree. Don't condemn yourself. Ask God what he can do through you. Next week, pay for someone's lunch. Next week, pray for someone when it's awkward. Next week, invite someone to Christ. Just begin to say, I'm just going to stop telling people I'm a Christian, and I'm going to let people say, I'm going to identify you by your fruit. There's definitely apples on that thing. That is an apple tree. I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Stop telling people a Christian. You don't need to do it anymore. Actually, it's going to save you, because if you're not living up to that, then you're actually not hurting the church. So if we just keep that out of our vocabulary, Jesus didn't have to tell people he was the Son of God right away. God came down and said, you are my son. But remember when he silenced the storm, he looked at his disciples. They said, who are you that you even silence this? He says, who do you say I am? I'm not going to tell you. You tell me by my actions, who do I look like? You're the Son of God. You silence the storms. You've healed this people. You bring the lame to walk and the blind can see. So next time you say, who do you say I am? When someone says, why is there something different about you? What is it? Say, what do you think? Is it Jesus? You better believe it's Jesus. You should come to church with me. Who do you say I am? You're the Son of God. You say, I'm so grateful that we serve a great example of this. Jesus. We talk about Jesus, we preach Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be Jesus. That's why our vision is to look like Jesus. That's what this town needs. That's what this world needs. And we have an example of what it means not just to project, but produce. And his name is Jesus. God said, I want my people back. I want relationship with them. And he said, I'm not just going to project it. I'm going to produce through a virgin Mary, a son of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. So he said, I'm not just going to project this thing, I'm going to produce it. And it looked like this on the cross. And he died for our sins. But 3 days later, he says, I'm also going to produce the fact that I conquered death as well. And he got up out of the grave. He says, if I can project and I can produce, I can do it through you. So if you feel heavy, you get the worship team, come on up. If you feel like, Sean, I feel so discouraged right now because I don't like where my fruit is. I have so many opportunities to reach people that you can't, and I'm not allowing the fruit to pour over my life because I'm scared of rejection. Can I admit that I'm the same person that I deal with that? But when I realize that people need Jesus as much as I did 10 years ago, it riles me up. And you're discouraged because you say, Sean, my fruit doesn't line up. My life isn't lining up with my lingo. And I project a lot, but my produce is not that great. And people are stopping to listen to what I have to say because I've projected so many things to my family. I'm a father. You know that husband saying that says, wife, if I told you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. You heard that? I've become that, where we can promise our wives things. Or I'll be home at this time, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. But our produce doesn't line up. And I don't want my girls to grow up saying, you know, what daddy says he doesn't actually mean. I don't want that. But I don't want that for our church either. I don't want that for my leadership either. And I've had those moments with my staff where I've sat down and said, what am I doing that I need to do better? You know, they say, you know what, we need to work on executing more. You know, when you bring your staff all together and say, this is a safe place, let's grow together. And one of the top things they say is, we're good at saying something, we're not good at executing it. I could have got offended. I could have got mad, but I didn't. Because what they were saying was, we need to be a church that looks like Jesus. And I'm grateful I got people on my team who will tell me that we need to work on something. And so we want to not just project, we want to produce. And so if you're here right now, here's what I want to encourage you with. Sean, how do I do that? How do I produce these things? What do I need to do? You can't do anything. The Holy Spirit's going to do it through you. You just got to give him access. You got to let them do it. Well, how do we do that? I'll show you. It's in Scripture. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. It is the same with my projection. It is the same with my voice. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. This is a preacher's favorite scripture, because if I don't have any words to say, right now I can speak his scripture, and it's going to go out, and he promises it's going to produce, so I don't have to worry. It's not on my shoulders. I just got to be faithful with his word, and if I can project his word, he says it will reap a harvest. It will not return void. Just as the seed comes to the plants, just as the farmers go out and get their harvest, if my word has come out, you better believe it's going to produce something in your life. What does that mean for you and I? It means that if your Bible is still collecting dust on the stand, you're not allowing God's projected voice into your heart. So it can't produce something that you're not being projected to. You see, we do the producing, God does the projecting. His promises, his goodness, his word. That's why I always say, read your Bible. Why? Because that's God's promises projecting into your life. And the Holy Spirit takes those things and begins to produce something in your life. But you won't see produce if you never listen to that projection. So I just felt in my heart that some of you were so strung out on anxiety this week. So stressed out, fearful. Maybe it's school tuition. Maybe it's how are we going to make the money end? How are we going to make the money meet? And I'm just so anxious. I want to produce fruit in you right now. God's word says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, accept your request to God. He hears you, and he will give you peace of mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go. You want to produce some peace in your life? Get that stuff into your spirit. You want to see God begin to work through your anxiety? Get that stuff in your spirit. Maybe you say, Sean, I don't know how to raise my kids. I don't know how to lead them. I don't know what decision to make in my job, in my business. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. What am I doing? I'm projecting God's word in your heart so he can produce peace in your heart. He can produce joy in your heart. Maybe you're going through hurt. Maybe sorrow has overtaken you. Pain and sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of you need the projection of God's word in your heart, and the produce will come. It'll come. The fruit will come. That's his job. Just get him something to work with. Get that word deep inside your heart so when the enemy comes in, you can quote what God's promised, and he'll produce it through you. The word of God, it's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It'll help you. It'll produce in you. Don't make it more than it needs to be. Just start reading one scripture. If you don't read the Bible at all, we have a Bible. If you don't have one, you can get one at the Hub. We would love to give that to you. If you have your YouVersion app, you can get it on the Bible app on your phone. Start somewhere. There's 31 Proverbs. One for every day of the month. Say, I'm going to start in Proverbs. Just start somewhere. I'm going to read one scripture. I'm just going to follow along with what Sean's preaching on Sunday. And I promise you, as much as God, not do I promise you, God promises you, my word goes out and it always produces a fruit. Always. If you're looking for some fruit in your life, it starts with listening to God's word and getting it inside. If you're here today, say, Sean, I'm not very happy with where my produce is. I need some prayer today. And I'm going to admit today in front of my church, in front of this community, that I just need prayer. I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life, and I'm so anxious, and I'm so full of all these things that you're saying, and I don't want my life to be something it's not. I want to be not just someone who projects, but I want to be someone who produces. If that's you, they say, I want to make that declaration. Can you pray for me? If you're going to stand up right now, we're going to pray together. We have people, thank you. I'm not just going to project. Let's give it up for them as they're being obedient right now. Maybe it's your father. Maybe you're a husband. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're a boss. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're a pastor or a leader. Anybody else that says, Sean, can you pray for me? I want to produce much fruit. I want the full life that God has for me. Anybody else says, I want to decide that today. Anybody? Okay, now everybody, can we stand in agreement with them so that we can be the church of God? Father God, we thank you. If you stood and you're comfortable, let's lift up your hands to God. Lord, we thank you. We're here to receive from you, to receive your word. I know we do things weird that aren't normal, but normal's not working out there. We need something different. So Lord, we want to produce. We want to produce joy. We want to produce peace. We don't want this drama. We don't want this greed. We don't want this anxiety. We don't want this division. We don't want this chaos. We want joy. We want peace. We want patience. We want goodness. We want self-control. And that can only happen through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, for people who need your Holy Spirit, if you're here, you've never asked God, you've never asked the Holy Spirit into your life, just ask him right now. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I want to produce much fruit. You can't do it without him. He's the strongest agent. Lord, you see the hearts and you see the lives. If you're here today with eyes closed and you say, Sean, I've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Remember that scripture said, I'm the vine, you are the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe the reason why you can do nothing or you feel like you keep falling short is because you haven't attached to the vine yet. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus, but today's your moment to make him number one in your life. If you want to do that today, could you lift up your hand? Say, Sean, I want Jesus in my life. I want to attach myself to the vine. Anybody else? Eyes closed. Anybody else say, I want Jesus in my heart. I want Jesus in my life. Keep those hands up. We got people declaring that right now. Keep those hands up. This is the biggest moment of your life. God's going to come in. It's not going to make everything amazing, but he's going to be there with you. Keep those hands up. Church, let's pray with these people. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to produce what he projected. I'm sorry. I've fallen short. My past is messy. My life is messy. Forgive me of my sins, of my mistakes. I give them to you. I choose you today. I want to forget my past. Holy Spirit, help me, transform me, and lead me. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Let's celebrate with those people who are now a new creation in Christ. We're producing fruit, church. That's the greatest miracle of all. That's the greatest miracle of all when someone goes from death to life. Welcome to God's family. Let's sing this out together as we celebrate.